Testing. It's still not on Brahmi. Testing. 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 Okay. My mic wasn't on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. You can go to the bathroom. Oh. Yeah, I was just going to leave a message through the phone system here off that phone. Have Amy pick it up and say, I won't be there today. I'm on a motorcycle ride. Yeah. There you go. Praise the Lord. Well, today I felt led to speak on sudden storm. How many know there's storms going on all around the world? Huh? Weather-wise, nation-wise, look what's happening in Egypt as we stand here this morning speaking, what possibly could break out into civil war, riots or whatever, voting for a new leader there and everything. And they said this morning on the news, no matter which party wins, there's going to be riots. I mean, they showed the view Cairo, wherever it was, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people chanting and everything. And I thought, what is that going to be like if their party doesn't win? And those types of storms can suddenly arise in people's lives, and how many people will be affected by that? And I mean, just those types of things. We're living in a world right now where there's getting to be more and more storms physically, mentally, emotionally, in the world, the weather, everything is taken off. And I believe Jesus is coming. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe that he is letting us be aware of it. He told us what to look for. He told us to discern the times and to know that his return is soon. We don't know the day or the hour. Did you hear that? Jesus said we wouldn't know the day nor the hour. But he said we should know the time is getting close. Because he said when you see these things begin to happen, look up and rejoice. See, in the middle of it, we rejoice when there's storms coming in our lives. And believe me, the demons of hell and Satan aren't going to let up on your and my life either when these things are happening. They're not just focused on the nations of the world. They're focused right down to the individual because they want to take as many of us with them into a place called hell for all eternity. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But anyway, is it okay if I read one little short story for a little bit of humor? Well, I was anyway. I just thought it'd be... This is about a little parakeet named Chippy.
Chippy?
Chippy. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. Sound effects by Lynn Diekman. The bird owner grasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy. Still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for her hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart, isn't it? Can you relate to Chippy? Most of us can. 1 minute you're seated in familiar territory with a song on your lips and the pink slip comes. And your world is upside down within a moment's time. The rejection letter arrives, the doctor calls, the divorce papers are delivered, the check bounces, a policeman knocks on your door. Storms, storms, sudden storms. You got sucked in. Into black concern, a cavern of doubts, doused with cold water of reality and stung with the hot air of empty promises. I can relate to all of Chippy's experiences in a different way, but it's there, isn't it? The life that had been so calm is now so stormy. You're hailstormed by demands, assailed by doubts, pummeled by questions, and somewhere in the trauma, you lose your joy. Somewhere in the storm, you lose your song. Anybody in here lose your song? Huh? We do, don't we? Life has a way to get us down. It has a way to get us down. I'm going to cover an event recorded in the Gospels, the three Gospels actually, of Matthew chapter 14, 20 through 36, and Mark chapter 6, 45 through 56, and John 6, verses 15 through 21. Here's the scene. The disciples had just finished serving 5,000 people, has just performed a miracle, taking five loaves and two fishes and turning them into enough food to feed 5,000 men besides women and children. Wouldn't that have been an exciting place to be? Can you imagine that? There must have been anywhere some 10 to 20,000 people there. At least, because the 5,000 men, and it said beside the women and the children, and who knows how many more. We don't know how many children it's talking about. Could have been that many people sitting there maybe on a nice grassy hills or wherever they were at, whatever, but what a sight. What a sight. I looked up in Mark chapter 6, 52, because I thought that was interesting in the story. It says, even after these amazing things that the disciples watched Jesus do, and experienced. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I thought, wow. That's why we should never get focused on miracles either. I love miracles. I love to see a lot of miracles, but we should never ever focus on them. We should always focus on Jesus, the miracle maker. He's the one that does the miracles. Because I thought it was interesting, their hearts were still hardened. Immediately after this miracle, Jesus instructed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Jesus stayed by himself, and he's the one that sent the multitudes away. He sent all the people away after that. But disciples, he wanted to get them on that boat. I don't know. You know, it's really interesting when you do these. I was thinking, what was Jesus thinking? Why did he want them to do that and stay all by himself? But then it's obvious, then Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's where he had gone after the people were all sent away, the disciples were on the boat, Jesus went up into a mountain. And you want to know something? There's our example again. If Jesus had to go up into the mountain and pray, boy, don't we? And that's the one thing we do less of. But we need to do that. That's where we get our power. That's where we get our answers from God when we go to prayer. Jesus did that. And I wonder, you know, because he said, I speak what the Father tells me and I do what the Father, he does what he sees the Father do. He went into prayer. And I'm thinking about this story as I'm going along here, as they traveled across the sea. It says in John 6, 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now, Scripture doesn't specifically say there was a storm there. It just said that the wind was really blowing. It could have been a windstorm or could have whatever. No matter what, it was a storm to those disciples. 1 minute they're rowing, it was nice and calm, and the next minute, here's these choppy waves and this wind blowing strong. And I don't know about you, but I think one of the most frightening things is to see water like that when the waves are way up. And I don't know what kind of boat they were in, if they felt secure in the boat or whatever, but to me, I remember one time being in a rowboat in Lake Minnewaska over by Glenwood there, and the waves were coming up, the wind came up, and I was away from shore, and the white caps on the top and everything, it was a little 14-foot boat, and that thing was just rocking like this here, and boy, that shore seemed like it was a long way away from me, even though I had a little 3.5 horse on it, little troll motor. that thing could barely make it over the waves. But I made it because I'm here. Praise the Lord. So just like the disciples here, sometimes you and I encounter storms in our lives. Perhaps even now, you're in the midst of a storm and you're wondering to yourself, why did this storm hit me right now? Is this storm ever going to stop? Don't we ever ask ourselves that? They seem like they go on and on sometimes. There's one storm after another. Let's examine the events of this story I just told you about. Number one, a sudden storm will erupt is just that, and that's just it. It's a sudden storm, just what it says. Sometimes a storm will arise in your life out of nowhere. You can just be going along, and all of a sudden something changes, doesn't it? We all experience it. Nobody's exempt. I remember one time when I was just standing drinking a cup of coffee, and something happened. I almost felt like I was going to faint and fall to the floor. But it affected me, so I couldn't stand erect hardly without hanging on to something for 2-3 years, even on my job. I'd go to customers and I'd have to go, I didn't want anybody to know what was going on, but my storm, I was in a storm because I didn't know if my boss found out I could hardly stand, am I going to lose my job? I didn't want anybody to know. And so I fought that every day. I'd go up to a wall and I'd lean on a wall, or I'd walk up to a car and lean on a car so I could stand erect and talk to a customer. And then even when I was teaching at the previous church, when I teach on Wednesday nights, I'd stand there and hang onto a pulpit like this here because I was afraid I'd fall over. There was a storm in my life, and I kept saying, Lord, will this storm ever leave me? Will it go away? Well, it did. I still struggle with little things, but you know something? That storm dissipated, and it had gone away. And you know why? Because I focused on Jesus even in the midst of my storm. I looked to him because I did go to the doctor, had the brain scan, the whole nine, couldn't find a thing, and when the doctors can't find anything, I blame it on the old devil. I blame it on the devil. So I started struggling hard in warfare every single day, which we still do, because we never know when another storm is going to hit. That's why I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, pray every day. Pray every day. We got an enemy against us, plus we're in an imperfect world and things happen, don't they? We never know when a storm is going to tip us upside down. As a matter of fact, these disciples were following Jesus' orders to get into the boat and travel to the other side. They had not disobeyed him, bringing his judgment on him. See, they weren't disobeying Jesus when this happened. They were minding what he said to do. They obeyed him, but yet still a storm arose. They were right in the center of his will. They were following his instructions. And many times that's why when we fall into a storm, we say, Lord, what is it? I've been doing my best. I've been working and striving to serve, to live, and to obey your word. Why is this storm in my life right now? We can't. And those are the questions that are normal that rise up in us. We can't figure it out. I'm sure the disciples were sitting in that boat going up and down and thinking, the master is right on the shore. Whatever was going through their mind, but they find themselves after this great, enormous miracle, and now they're fighting for their very existence, their very lives are at stake as they look around and they see the waves roaring and the wind blowing, and they're rowing and they don't know what's going to happen. So we can't always attribute storms in your life to God's judgment for you being out of his will. Sometimes we do bring storms upon ourselves by our disobedience to God's will, but this is certainly not the case here. Sometimes a sudden storm will erupt in your life though you are in the center of the will of God, perhaps even following his instructions, perhaps even doing the ministry or work he's called you into, but yet a storm comes into your life. Again, number one, a sudden storm is often just that, a sudden storm, erupting without warning and seemingly without reason. Number two, a sudden storm will sometimes immediately follow a great spiritual event. How many can relate to that? Man, you're on a high. God has used your life, or something good has happened in your life, and you're excited, or for your family or whatever, and you're just totally excited, but all of a sudden, a storm erupts right after that exhilarating experience in your life. I've experienced that on mission trips. I've experienced it in things of life too, when God has used me in ways I never dreamt he'd use me. And then it seems like a day later or even an hour sometimes, the storm will come into your life and it'll just try to distract you away from what God had accomplished through you. That's what the disciples experienced. They were part of a miracle that Jesus was doing to all these people, but here they are in the midst of that storm. Here the disciples had just been used by Jesus in a great miracle that he had performed. They had just received at hand enough food for 5,000 men, not including the women and children, that he had miraculously multiplied from 5 loaves and 2 fishes and had served it to the massive crowd of thousands. I wonder what they were thinking as God was using him in that ministry at that point, thinking, looking at those thousands and thousands of people, and here they had those little items that the Lord supplied right there, and as they were handing it out, they kept seeing it multiply. Huh? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Even as the miracle is going forth, you realize Jesus is at work in your life. Amen? What an exciting time that must have been. But then here, even as they thought in this great event, they are immediately thrust into a life-threatening storm. Right after it, they had not even had time to fully process in their own minds what had just occurred and to appreciate the significance of their participation in it until they were suddenly fighting for their very lives. Amen? There used to be a commercial that said, life comes at you fast, and boy, it does. The older we get, it comes faster. That's why, again, it's good to be prepared. It's good to be in the Word, to have yourself ready so when sudden storms come, you've got something to rely on, the Word of God. Because I tell you what, when a storm comes, that's when Satan comes in and battles you so much greater. He comes to your mind because he knows that you're at a point where you're losing your hope, you're losing your strength, you're losing your joy, you're losing your direction, you're losing all senses because the storm is disrupting you. And he's going to come in for the kill. And if you don't have the covering of the Word of God, amen, the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, the born-again experience, you're going to have a real fight. And you do anyway, but now you got weapons, amen? That's why I'm always going to encourage you to read the Word. But get a Bible that's anointed. A translation that has an anointing on it. And I don't care if people like it or not when I bring this up. I listened to a pastor this on Watchman on the Wall again this week. Can't think of his last name, Speriano or whatever it is. He's a pastor for many, many years. But he talked about different translations and got into them. I'm not this morning because that's not my thought. But I want to warn you, get a Bible that has an anointing on it that hasn't changed the Word of God. Because he said, most of these modern translations today, his word's not mine. And I kind of tend to agree with a little bit. I do know about it, that those translations support the Antichrist. And he brought up 3 scriptures to prove the point. And I said, whoa! And that's why it's a dangerous time we live in, and I want to encourage you, research, research, research. Perhaps your sudden storm has come right on the heels of great spiritual high, a great spiritual victory in an event in your life. If so, don't be dismayed. This too can be Jesus' way of taking you to an even higher level of involvement with him, and that's why it's so exciting to serve Jesus. Whatever happens in your and my life, it can be a stepping stone that Jesus is bringing us closer to him, a closer walk with him, and to be more like him when we keep focused on him, even in that sudden storm of life. That's what he was doing with the disciples here. A sudden storm will sometimes immediately follow a great spiritual event, but will itself also present an opportunity for you to move to an even higher spiritual level. Number 3, though Jesus allows you to exhaust all your possibilities, he only does so you will learn to rely on his infinite power. I've learned that in life too, that when I get to a point where there's absolutely nothing more I can say or do or whatever, is the greatest place to be sometimes. It's the greatest place to be when you belong to Jesus.
John 6:19 says, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 4 miles. That's a long way. That's a long way to row, especially in a storm. That's a long way. Matthew 14:25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Mark 6:48, and he saw them toiling, and the Greek for that is torment. They were tormented. I can imagine. Could you imagine? I've rowed boats, and boy, it gets tiresome after a while. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Boy, you know something? That tells me how slow they were rowing right there. Here comes Jesus. Walks right by them. Almost would have walked right by them. And they're going, here comes Jesus. And not only that, on top of the waves. Huh? That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus they saw coming at them in the storm. Whew. That was cool, wasn't it? These two verses tell us it was not until the fourth watch of the night, that was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, that Jesus finally came to them. He probably could see him out there on the sea. What was he praying about? Was he praying for the disciples? Was the Father showing Jesus, this is why I put the disciples out into the sudden storm? Their hearts are hardened. Miracles did nothing for them. I'm going to put them in a sudden storm, not because I want to hurt them or harm them in any way, but I want to help them. I want their faith to grow. And Jesus probably was standing out on the shore and saw that waves going up and down, the disciples struggling and tormented over it, and he took off walking. Sometimes when a sudden storm erupts in your life and it seems that Jesus is silent and disengaged, it is only because he's allowing you to come to the end of your possibilities, your energies and your resources, so you will recognize your need, a greater power than your own, to survive. That's when the most beautiful time is to experience Jesus, when all of a sudden you sense that he's presently with you. And even like this morning, while you and I are here worshiping Jesus, see, I want to say this, insert this real quick. We're here to worship Jesus as the body of Christ. That's why we come to church, to fellowship one with another, to worship Jesus. We don't come for the music. We don't come for me. We don't come for anybody. We're gathered here to worship this Jesus. That's why we do it. We always should remember that when we come to church, we're to worship Jesus because he's here. His presence is here. And I tell you what, he's already working in our hearts and our lives while we're sitting here as the body of Christ. Because he knows what your tomorrow holds. He knows the next storm he's going to permit. And he doesn't want you to lose out. He wants to get you through that storm. It is in your helplessness that Jesus can best reveal his power and his faithfulness as your preserver. Nothing greater than to sense the power of Jesus, brother. Right, Pastor Jim? Nothing greater than that. I've experienced that in my own life in different ways, that when I thought I was done and I was gone, Jesus showed up. And it's the greatest exhilaration in your life to see Jesus, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever's going on, Jesus shows up. He doesn't show up. He's always been there. Let me correct that. So though Jesus allows you to exhaust all your possibilities, he only does so you will learn to rely on his infinite power. We need to rely on Jesus. Even if you think you got the strength, the mentality, the power, the finances to do whatever in your life, depend on Jesus' power. Because it's because of him you got it anyway. That's what we got to remember. Everything that if you think, well, I'm really intelligent, I'm really smart, or I'm really strong, or I'm really brilliant, I really can do this type of work or do this, or I can really whatever, it's only because of Jesus. The scriptures teach that.
When they built the temple of Solomon, he gave everybody the ability to do the work that he called them to do. It says it right in there. So if you're sitting in here and you know how to hammer nails, it's only because Jesus showed you how to hammer nails really good. It's true. If you're a great singer like I am in here today, I love me. It's only because of Jesus. It's only because of Jesus. Number four, the sudden storm that seems will drown you serves only as a highway for Jesus to get to you. Matthew 14:24 says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Again, John 6:18 says, "And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew." See, the mighty waves that were tossing the ship and crashing against the ship and sloshing over into the ship and appeared would destroy the boat and its occupants served only as a highway for Jesus. For the very waves that tossed the disciples only provided a highway for Jesus to get to them. He walked on top of the very waves that threatened their lives. I just think that's incredible. The creator of the universe walking on the waves he created. Now, I don't know if the enemy created that storm or if the Lord did. I'm not really sure. But no matter what, they were there for a reason. And Jesus walked on top of them because he was Lord over them. Boy, you ever get visuals in your mind when you think about that? I was just thinking Jesus, you know, he's standing on this big wave, kind of like surfing, and the thing's rolling him. And I mean, it's what a sight that had to be. You see, it is that which appears that will destroy you that provides a highway, a path for Jesus to make his way into your situation. What may seem like it's destroying your life and you're down and out and you see there's no recovery or it's going to change you forever may be the very avenue which Jesus needs a path to get to you in your thinking, in your way, in your trust in him. It's a highway for him to do the work in your life. That's what he wants to do. See, he wants to be the center of everything in your life. Why? Not because he's a dictator, but because he's Lord. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to heaven. Jesus often goes unnoticed when things are going well for us. You ever think about that? Many times good things come in our life, we forget to say, thank you, Jesus. And when prayers get answered or he takes us through a storm, sometimes we go and tell everybody about the storm, but we don't talk about Jesus. And we should tell about Jesus. We give credit to good luck, good choices, skill and ability, and many other sources for our successes. We often do not give credit to the Lord for his blessing us and making us successful. But when you run into something you cannot handle, it provides him an opportunity to show off his great power. Not, when I say show off, I'm not saying like you and I in a prideful way, but to show his great power. But also his great mercy and his great grace and taking it up on himself to be your supply. I love Jesus' great mercy and his great grace. He's not doing and allowing things to do it to beat us down into the ground because he's angry or anything. It's his great mercy and his great love and his great grace. He's got a purpose for these things coming into our life in order for us to make it through life. And whether you and I want to admit it or not, our faith grows stronger when we get through those storms. We may not feel it, we may not sense it, but it's happening. It's just like growing. You don't feel yourself stretch up and grow into an adult, but it's happening. And your faith is doing the same thing. You're growing stronger. That's why I thank God for the older generations before us and it existing with us right now. Men and women who have experienced storms of life that have gone through them and sit back and say, God was with me, he took me through the storm, and they can go to the younger generation and say, serve this Jesus, because he's your only hope, he's your only strength to get you through the hard times of this world that we live in. Amen. And it takes the older generations to teach the younger generations that,
instead of trying to put the younger generation in front and lead the older generation when they haven't experienced life. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I thank God for the young generation. We need young people. But I tell you what, God wants to use the senior citizens too.
Amen.
He didn't tell us to go home and take a cat nap. Did he?
No.
We work right to the end. We get radical right to the end.
Yeah.
You never give up. Because storms don't quit because you get old, and they don't quit because you're young. Amy's got a friend here that we were in a hospital a few weeks ago, and we're walking through a parent, and they got like, 17, 18-year-old son? He's in a sudden storm of life. They found a tumor in his head. Instead of being outside enjoying life as a teenager and looking for the future, he's sitting in a wheelchair on chemotherapy and looked like he was half dead. A storm come into his life. And it makes your heart go out. And you pray for them. We pray. Fortunately, they're a Christian family. But see, there's a storm in this mom's life as she was pushing her young son to go get more chemo. A storm in the son's life, a storm in the mom's life, the dad's. And that's why we teach the young people, go to Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing else will get you through a storm but Jesus. Number five, sometimes God doesn't deliver you out of a storm. He delivers you in the storm. You and I always want to escape the storms of life, but we cannot always escape the storms. Experience teaches us that sudden storms do erupt and that we are forced to deal with them. That's the problem with the prosperity gospel today. It teaches that if you are in a storm, then it's because you're not exercising faith, that you're not claiming your victory. John 16:33 said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Jesus got the victory over the world. Here Jesus promised that in this world we will have tribulation, didn't he? He warned us. He said, you're going to have tribulation. And then what it says in Job, it says it was like sparks flying up to the Christian people. That's tribulations coming at us. But I like it. I have overcome the world. And he did it through the cross. He did it through the cross. And I think it's interesting that when we have sudden storms come into our life, that Jesus did it through the cross, and it's the cross that Satan is putting in the hearts of man to take away. When it's the cross we preach. It's because of the cross that I run to the cross when I'm in a storm. And why are altars taken away? When sudden storms come into our life, when we teach our young people. I remember when I was a brand new Christian, we had altars lined up, had the nice altars in the front of this old church with the steeple, and when people had storms in their life, I saw the old and the young like this in church weeping and crying to God when they're in sudden storms. We don't see that much anymore, do we? But you know something? We saw prayers answered in those people's lives. And that was so encouraging as young Christians. When my wife and I got saved, we looked at these people and we thought, wow, wow. And when we had gone into some storms in our young, some of those older people, man, we'd go up to the front and we didn't ask them or anything. All of a sudden, we got 2, 3, 4, 5 of these older people with their hands on us, speaking in tongues, fighting the enemy off for us in our storms and taking authority. And it was so encouraging. We knew there was hope because those gray-haired older people made it that far. And today we're ashamed to talk about that stuff. Not me! Not me. It's our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. We need to see more mom and dads on their knees before their children. And because there's going to be sudden storms coming in little Johnny and Susie's life too. And we got to let them know the direction that they're to go. They go to their knees. We're not exempt from storms and tribulations just because we're the children of God. As a matter of fact, sometimes our association with Jesus will create its own set of storms. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So living out your Christian faith will result in a set of storms received only for those who live godly in Christ Jesus. Again, caused by the offense of the cross. The cross offends the world and most of the church. So if the preacher ceases to preach the cross as the only way of salvation and victory, then opposition and persecution will cease. Did you hear that? It's going to cease. But so will salvation. So will salvation. So then, so to entertain the notion that we can escape all storms is not only unrealistic, it is contrary to Scripture and will serve only to diminish our faith when sudden storms do occur. God often chooses not to deliver you from the sudden storm, but rather deliver you in the storm. Here, Jesus didn't remove them from the storm and then arrive. He came to the disciples in the midst of the storm. His saving work was done at the height of the storm, not by removing them from their situation of life. Thus, he proved his great power over the storm, even as it raged and threatened them. In the same way, if you were removed from the storm, then you would not be a witness to Jesus. We wouldn't. That's why we can be of good cheer, like Jesus said, be of good cheer. We can rejoice when we're in the storm. It's not easy to do, but we can do it. But by delivering you in the storm instead of from it, he demonstrates his power over anything that might threaten you, even in the future. He was teaching his disciples that I am the source. Even nature can't buck me. And he showed them by walking on the waves. A little bit of humor, too. Maybe, you know, maybe Jesus was going up and down like this, you know. As he was coming toward them, I don't know. But he was showing them that I'm the source. I'm the source. Sometimes God doesn't deliver you out of the storm. He delivers you in the storm. Number six, Jesus' presence in your storm gives rise to faith and removes fear. Matthew 14, 27 says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer." What unusual words to say, huh? They're looking around thinking, I'm not going to make it. Jesus is saying, rejoice. Be cheerful. Be not afraid. And in Mark 6, 15, "For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." It is I. Be not afraid. He was telling them, look at me. Get your eyes off of the left and the right and behind and the front and look toward me. Here I come. See, we got to remember that in the middle of the storm. Always say Jesus. You know, I was telling you earlier about my couldn't stand up straight stuff. I kept saying Jesus every day. Because Jesus knew what I was going through. He knew the storm I was battling in my life. And I kept my eyes with his help every day. I'd say Jesus. When I didn't feel good, I'd say, Jesus. When I'd go and I'd have to stand up and speak, I'd say, Jesus. And he always took care of it. He was faithful, just like the song we sung. God is faithful, he's merciful, and he's faithful from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus speaks these words to the disciples upon his approach, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Mistaking Jesus for a spirit, a ghost, the disciples cried out in fear. But you know something, I thought about that. Who wouldn't be afraid? Never seeing someone walk on water before, and all of a sudden you're looking out in this stormy weather, these waves and everything, and here comes somebody walking on water? I can understand. I can relate to these poor guys. But, you know, sometimes our fear distorts our perspective, doesn't it? It distorts it. The danger and threat we are experiencing often shapes our view of everything else around us. Therefore, when Jesus appears, we either do not recognize him or we anticipate he is approaching us to do us harm. Notice Jesus claims their, or excuse me, calms their fear before he calms their storm. Isn't that awesome? He calmed their fear before he calmed their storm. I've experienced that too, where God has given me total peace in the middle of something. I didn't know if this was the end or not. But I had a calm. I felt calm. But I knew it was the Lord Jesus. Man, don't you love Jesus? Don't you get excited about Jesus? That's why you like to tell people about this Jesus, because everybody you're running into has got a sudden storm. Or they will have. And you've got an answer. You've got an answer. The power of Jesus is greater than the power of your storm. And just his presence will calm your fear, even though the storm still rages and has not yet subsided. As your fear subsides, your perspective begins to come back into focus, and you begin to realize the storm does not hold your destiny. It doesn't hold it. Jesus holds your destiny regardless of the magnitude of the storm's assault on your life. Jesus holds your future. No matter what you think the storm is going to do to you, Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah! See, Bob, that's why I asked for a stable pulpit here. The other one, I could never do that. I'd go down to the floor like that every time. Number 7, even fragile faith properly focused on Jesus will destroy your storm's effect on you. Fragile faith. Sometimes you say, Lord, I just don't feel I got any faith anymore. I don't think I can handle one more storm in my life right now. You ever been there? You get tired. You get fatigued. You get weak. Anxiety sets in, and your thoughts again are distorted on, I don't think I can make it. But you know something? Even fragile faith, properly focused on Jesus, will destroy the storm. Effect on you. Matthew 14, 28 and 29 says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid come on to thee in the on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, a lot of people criticize Pete for going down to drink. But I tell you what, it took a lot of guts just to get out of that boat, I think. It wouldn't for me. But old Peter, you know why he did it? He is focused on Jesus at that point. So the fear was gone. So he climbs out of that old boat. And then he's going up and down with Jesus back and forth. He'd be taller than Jesus, shorter than Jesus, taller than Jesus. But he kept his eyes focused on Jesus. The waves that a few minutes earlier had threatened to swallow Peter up now served only as a pathway to Jesus. The storm. It was his path. He saw Jesus. That was his way. These mighty waves had completely lost any influence and effect on him. The difference between now and a few minutes ago, Peter's simple, childlike, fragile faith in the person and power of Jesus. That's why he did it. He was focused on Jesus. See, when you and I, even when our faith is weak, is all we got to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, there's power in that name. And we forget that as Christians, and we let the devil beat us up and tear us around and send us around, when is all we need to do is stand still and say, Jesus. Every time we say it, even out of a fragile faith, there's power in that name, and Jesus hears his name. He hears his name when it's coming from one of his children. And sometimes when you and I just, we're tired and we just say, Jesus. It's a scream to Jesus. They're calling out to him. And he's saying, they need my help. They're finally calling on me. And he hears that, Jesus. And he said, now I'm ready to do some work. I've been there. He's here today. Yeah. Call on his name. Don't forget that. Call on his name. Peter actually walked on water until he got his eyes off Jesus and on the storm, looking at the circumstances around. That's when he started to sink. When he looked away from Jesus, he saw that big wave coming at him, and he felt himself going on. But then he saw a big one that he thought, I don't know. And then he started to sink. But Jesus was still there in the storm. And Jesus was just standing there saying, Peter, I'm not sinking. You are. That's you going down, not me. Amen? You keep your eyes focused on Jesus in the storm. Peter didn't do that. And I'm not putting him down one iota. Matthew 14, 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! That's the proper thing to do. That was wise of Peter. When Peter began to consider the power of the waves and focus on their powers more than on the power of the Lord of the waves, his power to walk on his storm dissipated. When you and I look at the sudden storm that comes into our life and we look at the power of that storm and we look away from the power of the one who can stop that storm or take us through it or deliver us from it, we sink. And we got to look at Jesus. The lesson to you, when you focus on your fear, on the power of your storm, it empowers your storm to take control of your life. That's what it does. But when you instead focus your faith on the Lord and your storm, it destroys your storm's power to affect you. And basically, it stops Satan from causing fear and torment in your mind. Though the storm has not subsided, the storm has completely lost its power to affect you. You are living as if the storm did not exist, though it still does in your life. As long as Peter's faith was focused on Jesus, he walked on the very water that threatened to claim his life just a few moments earlier. It was only when he began to fear the waves more than he trusted the Lord of the waves that the storm's power was re-energized and renewed its danger to him. Sometimes we allow the storm to last longer than we need to if we get our focus off Jesus. Amen? Even fragile faith, properly focused on Jesus, will destroy your storm's effect on you. I'm almost done. Everybody still with me? Put one hand up like this and the other like this. Praise the Lord. I'm still with you, brother. That's always refreshing to do that anyway, isn't it? Gets the blood going through you. I'd tell you to do this too, but then you got to stand up. You know, I used to do that too, put one leg up and one leg in. Had him do the wassy-toosie, whatever that's called. Didn't Number 8. Oh, it was a Freddy. There you go. I was trying to think of it. A sudden storm does not determine your destiny. It only prepares you for it. Matthew 14:22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. See, you notice that Jesus' instructions was to go before him on the other side. His instructions was not to get destroyed along the way, but to go to the other side. The disciples' destiny was not injury, it was ministry. Ministry awaited them on the other side of the sea. I said this before, when I'm in an airplane, that airplane can't crash unless God's done with me. Isn't that incredible? When you're driving down the interstate, nothing can happen to you until God's done with you. And he says it's time to come. Because if he's got a ministry for you, he can send you into sudden storms and you're going to make it. You may learn something and you need to learn something. And I believe these disciples were being prepared to learn something so when they got to the other side, they're going to see greater things done yet, as you'll see. And that's what happens to you and I too when we're in storms. We don't understand or see it or think it can happen. We only see ourselves getting weaker sometimes, don't we? We say, oh, there's just no way. I must be the weakest person in the world. But in reality, when we're at that point, is a good point to be, because then we rely on Jesus, and that's when he does the work in us. And our faith begins to arise. Amen? See, I believe the weakest child, the weakest little child, and I say that in a physical sense, full of faith, has more power than any devil. Jesus was sending them ahead of him to the place of ministry where they would serve next. That's what he was doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Faithful. Jesus does not call you to ministry only to allow a sudden storm along the way to destroy you. There were many sick and hurting people on the other side whose bodies and lives needed healing. Faith would need to be strong so that Jesus' power would not be inhibited by unbelief and the infirm would be able to receive their healing. That's the type of ministry that was going on when they got on the other side of the sea. And I'm not talking just about ministry either. I'm talking about your lively work, the work that your God has called you into. When you go into your jobs, into your neighborhood, whatever it is, that's your ministry. The storm then was only a timeout to strengthen the disciples. Faith as they saw the power of the Lord displayed over the forces of nature. Boy, wouldn't that build your faith? If Jesus could walk on violent waves and calm the raging sea, it would be no problem for him to heal people's bodies. Jesus, he was getting him ready. He's getting you and I ready. There's some great events that are coming on the earth. We're walking on the other side right now. We're going toward the other side. There's great things that are going to be happening. And I believe that God is going to use faithful people who hold the truth in their hearts. I believe he's preparing us for great things as he's getting ready to take this earth over, the church out of here. Amen? I believe it. That's my personal Lynn Theory feelings. The storm then was only a timeout to strengthen the disciples' faith. If Jesus could walk on the violent waves, just think about that. If he could walk on these waves, he could do anything. He wanted to get that into their hearts. Their sudden storm was not their destiny. It only prepared them for it. Has God called you to ministry or a work? Ministry does not only mean in a church setting now. That can be anywhere you go. How do you know sometime if you're not, say, even on vacation and you drive into a town and somebody gets hit with a car or whatever, and you've been worshiping God, and God's been growing you through storms in your life, and you just know that, and your faith is strong. And how do you know that God won't speak into you through the Holy Ghost? Say, go put your hand on that person and raise them up. Huh? Wouldn't that be awesome if the church walked like that? Did the Church of Acts. They healed the sick and raised the dead. They walked in power. I want that too. Not for my glory, not for showmanship, but to lift up Jesus. That's why we want to do it. We want to show a lost world that the God we serve, instead of them laughing at us like they've been doing for the last several decades, we want them fearful of us. We want the world fearful that when we walk in a room, they're going to say, oh, no, man, there's one of those Christian people. They might know how to read my email. Huh? That's why I ask God to always give me Holy Ghost boldness when I witness and when I live my life out in public, because I want him to use me. Because if I don't show them that I have confidence in the God we serve, they're not going to ask for prayer. They're not going to ask me, what's different about you? And I'm not talking arrogance, pride, or anything else. I'm talking about standing for what you believe. Because even when I'm standing in a sudden storm of life, and somebody might know that, they're going to say, what do you have that gets you through the time of your life right now? And I can say, Jesus. Just like one gal said to me, why do you always seem like you're so happy? I said, do you really want to know? Huh? Jesus. Does a sudden storm appear to have destroyed the prospect of that becoming a reality? Then learn a lesson with the disciples. Your destiny is not injury, it's ministry. Your sudden storm will not determine your destiny. It will only prepare you for it. The last one, number nine, a sudden storm. See, I didn't say I'm going to give you 9 points today, because you had already been focused on number nine before I got to it. I'm human like you are. A sudden storm, instead of delaying your destiny, can be a shortcut to it. John 6:21 says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land." That's exciting. Was at the land whither they went. Wow, is this an exciting point right here? It says, the wave submitting to the command of the Lord Jesus was not the only miracle that happened that day. As soon as the disciples received Jesus into the ship, they were in. They were that moment at their destination. Did you hear that? As soon as Jesus stepped into the ship, they were on the land, on the shore. That was a miracle. Jesus took that whole ship and all the men at the moment he stood on it, and they were already on the shore out of the storm. The storm was calm, and they were already on the land. That was another miracle right there. Jesus showed his mighty power. See, when you're in the middle of a storm, when Jesus comes into your storm, when he decides this is the point of entry right here, this is the pathway to me, when he gets to that point, then he steps into your storm. It's gone right now, and it's calm. Amen. He delivers in his mighty power. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. No Velcro. I'm ready to go. Say, that makes me think this week. I don't know if anybody heard it. Did you hear the noises around the world right now? Sound of trumpets? I actually heard the recording of them, some of them. Over in the Ukraine, over in Italy, the United States, and along some seashores. People are starting to hear trumpets in the air around the world. Nobody knows what it is. I've listened to some pretty solid pastor theologians talk about it. They're not sure what it is, but it's there. The one on the seashore really was so obvious, it was unbelievable. You could literally hear the playing of a trumpet. They're saying it sounded like a shofar. And they're saying they're starting to hear it around the world, these sounds. And then one man called in and he said, he's quoted the scripture, and I didn't write it down because I was driving, out of the book of Jeremiah. It says, God was angry with the nations, so he sent the sound from the heavens throughout the nations of the world to warn the world. They don't know if that's it, but it's getting more and more prevalent that there's sounds in the up in the sky and the air around the world that's happening. It made me think of that when I heard that. I thought, could this be it? I'm ready to go. Don't have to, will I? I mean, you know, this is so awesome when you said that, Larry, because an instant thought went into my head. As soon as I leave, my clothes would still be standing erect. That's how fast I'd be gone. But I hope you'd all be going with me, because your clothes would all be sitting up. Okay, I'm going to finish this yet if I have to. A sudden storm, instead of delaying your destiny, can be a shortcut to it. I'll read it once more. John 6:21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. As soon as the disciples received Jesus into the ship, they were that moment at their destination. A whole ship taken from a storm area in the middle of a sea was suddenly at shore. That's the Jesus we serve. It was no doubt carried by God's power, like Philip. Remember the story in Acts chapter 39, 40? Philip was carried bodily through the air. See, I told Peter Mell, the missionary, I said, you know something, I'm going to believe for you and for me and for every other Christian who wants to do ministry work, missionary work overseas. You know, it's quite costly to fly overseas, this expensive. You know, I'm going to believe God for translation. I say to my wife, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock.
Hey, baby doll. I'm going to Ishmael, Ukraine. That's about 6,000 miles from here. I'll be home for supper. God translates me out. I go minister the gospel for a day and come back and eat. Wouldn't that be nice? See, you know something? We can kid, but I believe Jesus does it. He did it to Philip, and he did it to this ship. These men went from out in the middle of the sudden storm of life, and they went over to the sea, and they started healing and watching Jesus healing people. Everybody that said they came to him, they're watching these people being healed left and right by the power of God. Sometimes these sudden storms look like they're destroying us, but they're setting us up for faith and for a miracle in our life and the miracle in somebody else's life. Is there anybody in your life, in your family, that needs a miracle right now? But you feel that you've been in this sudden storm and your faith is so weak. How can I help my loved one when I can barely see above the water myself? That's the very point when God can use you the most. Wow. They learned two great lessons that day. Not only were the forces of nature subject to Jesus, he could also manipulate time and space to conform to his will. See, God can do whatever he wants. Sometimes on your way to do the will of God, a sudden storm will seem to interrupt your plans and delay your fulfilling your calling. But God, being the God of time and space, can use the sudden storm in your life to bridge the time and space gap so that instead of causing a delay in your reaching your destiny, it provides a shortcut to it. A sudden storm, instead of delaying your destiny, can be a shortcut to it. You get there faster. In summary, a sudden storm will erupt just that, a sudden storm. Number two, a sudden storm will sometimes immediately follow a great spiritual event. Number three, though Jesus allows you to exhaust all your possibilities, he only does so you will learn to rely on his infinite power. Number four, the sudden storm that seems will drown you serves only as a highway for Jesus to get to you. Number five, sometimes God doesn't deliver you out of the storm. He delivers you in the storm. Number six, Jesus presents in your storm. Presence in your storm gives rise to faith and removes fear. Number seven, even fragile faith properly focused on Jesus will destroy your storm's effect on you. Number eight, a sudden storm does not determine your destiny. It only prepares you for it. Lastly, again, a sudden storm, instead of delaying your destiny, can be a shortcut to it. So in conclusion, Jesus is the Lord of your sudden storm, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the Lord to your sudden storm. It is subject to him, and it must obey his command, that storm. It's got to obey Jesus. Isn't that exciting? If you're in a storm, cry out to Jesus, because that storm has to submit to Jesus. At what point is Jesus' decision? But it's got to submit to Jesus. Jesus is your Lord in your sudden storm. He gives you power to tread upon the very waves that threaten to engulf you. Jesus is the Lord of time and space. Your sudden storm will not determine to delay your destiny. Instead, it will prepare you for it, and it can be a shortcut to it. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. As Christians, we have hope. No matter how hard that storm gets, we've got hope. We've got joy. That's why Jesus says, be cheerful and be not afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going on in your life. Be cheerful because you serve the mighty God. The mighty God. Let's just all bow our heads in reverence to our Lord Jesus. And I would just ask everybody, just, you know, when I ask you to raise your hands for different situations, it's not just to see who's what and what's going on. It's not that at all. When I ask you to raise your hands, every time you raise your hands up, say Jesus. Jesus acknowledges those hands. He hears his name. And I would ask right now, everybody that's got a storm in your life, or you know somebody's got a storm, a sudden storm that come into their lives, just raise your hand up in proxy for them also.
Look at how many hands. And even in our small church, look at how many hands. Because we're human, aren't we? And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, just keep them there just for a moment. Just keep them there, because I believe Jesus right now is walking in your storms right now, in their storms. And you could be the answer that's going to come into that loved one's if you're raising your hand for somebody else too. Jesus, we have our hands lifted up to you because you're our hope. And Jesus, my brothers and sisters in here right now, every hand that's up right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we cry out to your name to be in the midst of the storm of each hand that's up right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, each family that's represented here, every situation that's going on right now, Lord, I would call Jesus upon each storm right now to be walking up on the waves of their storm right now, Lord, that sudden storm. Because you're their peace, you're their hope, you're their help, you're their deliverer, you're their teacher, you're their guide, you're their destination. And Lord, every hand that's risen up right now, you've got a purpose and a plan, and you've got a ministry for every hand. It's not just being a preacher, evangelist, or a teacher. It's being ministry for ministering Jesus to the hurting world. And I pray that over every family right now, Lord. Meet every need that's in this room, in every family, Lord. And let there be testimonies coming out of these lives this week, Father. Let supernatural power flow in the name of Jesus through these families right now. And I take authority over every satanic, every demon of hell, not in my power, but in Jesus' name, Satan, let go of every situation that you would try to hinder right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I would ask through reverence that you would loose your Holy Spirit power upon every person that's in this room today, and that they will leave here and even today sense your presence and your power even in the midst of their storm, and there will be a cheer and a joy in their heart and in their spirits in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And I just want to say too, if there's anybody in here right now and you just want to get your life right with Jesus, I don't care. Again, I know we know each other, a lot of us. But if there's anybody I'm missing, I would ask that the Holy Ghost, you would come up to me after the service, that I could pray with you to renew your faith in Jesus, your strength. Or if you haven't made that commitment and you're in here and I just haven't noticed or whatever, the Holy Ghost notices you and he wants your soul. And I would ask that you would swallow your pride and come up and surrender to Jesus. And we as the body of Christ agree with that in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I would also ask that as we go our way, bless again these families. And Lord, let your supernatural power prepare our hearts for your soon return. Help us to be a mighty army, an army of soldiers for your cause, for the cause of Christ to reach a lost world. Put the fire in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, take tracts.